Hello, and welcome to the Houston Vineyard Podcast. We sincerely hope that this message is a blessing to you. Enjoy.
Let's get it. Let's get it. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your presence. I pray that it will be you doing your work, Lord. Holy Spirit, bring conviction or comfort when needed. We give you the room. Do your work. And Lord, I pray this morning for all the mothers who are raising children. Bless them. All the mothers who parent alone. Bless them. All the mothers of children with special needs or particular challenges. Bless them. Please bless all adoptive, foster, and stepmamas. Bless all the mothers with an empty nest. Bless all the women who long to be mothers. Bless all the women who have lost their children. Bless the women whose children are estranged or separated from them. Bless the grandmothers here, the aunts. Bless the women and men who are estranged from their own moms. Bless our own mothers who were there for us and raised us. Women, this day, we ask that the Lord will bless you deeply. And we all said, amen. This is a prayer by Beth Graham from the Vineyard Church of Gate City. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you. And I'm so glad to see you all here in this very special day. I'm glad you all came back. I told you guys to come back, and you did. If you were not here last week, I said, this is a sermon that is divided in five parts, so you can't miss one part, because you'll miss some part of it. So I am, for the people that were not here last week, let me just do a really quick showdown. We are in Ruth, and I love what Ellie said to me. I love a tough chick. And this is a story about a tough chick. And we love those here. And so I am extra privileged to be talking to you today, the second installment of this Hesed, which means gospel lived out, the love that we are to have for one another, the collaboration between men and women for the kingdom in perfect, perfect love. So I'm happy to be talking to you about Ruth. Now, last week, let me place your mind again where we are in this story. We went through the dusty road, destitution. Let me read it so that I don't forget anything. Look at these words, hear these words, and place yourself in that story, okay? Dusty road, refugee, destitution, vulnerable, poverty, widowhood, infertility, loss, tears, suffering. This is where we start today with Ruth. This is where we are located in her mind, in her heart, in Ruth and Orpah's life. We are talking about women that have nothing. So we're going to start there this morning. So go with me to Ruth. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles up to Ruth. We went through 1 through 5, and we're going to do, we're going to start in verse 8, okay? I'm sorry, no, verse 6. Then she arose along with her daughters-in-law to return from the field of Moab, and that's the NIV, I believe. I'm reading from the NAS, I think, but you get it. You'll get it. Okay, so they're going to return because, return from the fields of Moab because while in the territory of Moab, she had heard, first important thing, Naomi hears that the Lord has paid attention to his people by providing food for them. Remember we started with famine? Okay, the Lord has provided food for them. So they go back, okay? She left the place where she had been, and her two daughters-in-law went with her. They went along the road to return to the land of Judah. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Go, turn back, each of you, to the household of your mother. May the Lord deal faithfully with you, just as you have done with the dead and with me. May the Lord provide for you so that you may find security, each woman in the household of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. But they replied to her, "No, instead we will return with you to your people." Naomi replied, "Turn back, my daughters. Why would you go with me? Will there again be sons in my womb that they may be husbands for you? Turn back, my daughters. Go. I am too old for a husband. If I were to say that I have hope, even if I had a husband tonight, and even more, if I were to bear sons, are you going to wait until grow up? Would you refrain from having a husband? No. This is more bitter for me than for you. The Lord's will has come out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth stayed with her. Naomi said, "Look, your sister has gone back to her people and her gods. Turn back after your sister-in-law." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to abandon you, to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do this to me and more, so even death separates me from you." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined, she stopped speaking to her about it. So both of them went along until they arrived at Bethlehem. When they arrived at Bethlehem, the whole town was excited on account of them. And the women of the town asked, "Is this Naomi?" She replied to them, "Do not call me that. Call me Mara, for the Almighty God has made me very bitter. I went away full, and the Lord has returned empty. Why would you call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has deemed me guilty?" Thus Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, returned with her from the territory of Moab. They arrived in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest, and that is where we're going to be today. So we are finishing chapter 1 today, and we are going to look at Naomi as a female Job. Remember I talked to you about, I made the case that Naomi is equivalent to Job in female dumb. She has lost everything. She has nothing. Everything has been taken from her. She is alone, destitute, no prospects, no nothing. Only her daughters-in-law remain with her, and she's not very happy about that. She hears that there is food now in Bethlehem. So point number one, even in her darkest moment, Naomi has the sense to point herself back to favor. Number one, in her darkest moment, Naomi hears something, however small of a hope it is, and decides to place herself back to favor. We sang today, Waymaker, and I thought that was a perfect song because even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. Trust me, friends, Naomi didn't feel good. The Lord's work in her life at this moment to her actually felt like he was her enemy. She testified as much. She is bitter. Back to Bethlehem. Confronted with her own widowhood. Now, in the Bible, the theme of widowhood is a theme. It means something. These people were the most vulnerable of all. The Lord is very angry when people are unkind to widows. In fact, the Lord uses many widows across the Bible to get his point across. Those, more often than not, are his first choice to get a point across. Female people that have lost it all in a patriarchal culture that requires men to do transactions for women. Moab and Bethlehem are both extremely patriarchal cultures. We talked about a little bit of this last week. If you didn't have a man in your life, you were destitute. You had no options. Poverty, destitution, that was your destiny. Vulnerable, all the words. Naomi has no husband, and her two crowning moments, aka her two sons, are no more either. In those days, in that culture, friends, the worst kick in the butt that could happen to somebody happened to her. Many times we are told that a sign of maturity is that when you are suffering, you are still praising the Lord through it. I don't want to poke any bears, but I don't see that in Naomi or Job. They actually were very honest about what they were feeling. And the movie Rocky came to me. Have you seen Rocky? Am I dating myself? I proudly stand here and tell you I love the Rocky movies. And I love boxing. I actually do boxing. That's my therapy. I call it, I'm going to therapy. I'm going to box. And my trainer puts on a suit and I hit him. And that's great therapy. Try it. So, okay, now guys, you made me lucid. You made me lucid. What was I saying? Okay, Rocky. He's in the ring, and he is getting the living daylights kicked out of him. He is bruised, bloodied, battered. He is down. His face doesn't look like a face anymore. It looks like a dummy. How much of a common sense thing would be for Rocky to stand up in the middle of the fight, look at us, and say, I'm fine. There's no problem. No, this isn't blood. No, I'm good. I'm blessed. When our life takes a beating, friends, our faith takes a beating too. That is just the truth. And Job and Naomi are perfect examples of that. When life gives you lemons, you not always are ready to make lemonade. Your faith can take a beating. And it could be the case that you feel like God has turned against you. Naomi goes as far as to say, I have been made God's enemy. That is the level of desperation and loneliness and depression that she was facing, and she was not hiding it or sugarcoating it. He says, this is me. I am at the lowest rung. The case against me has come, and I am guilty, and the Lord has turned against me. And it's not fun, and it's not, there's no presence. Trust me, friends, on the road back to Bethlehem, Naomi felt no presence, no renewal, no peace. She felt alone. The only thing that she did was she heard about God's favor and placed herself on the road to it. You can be on the road to favor feeling like crap. And that's the truth. Because love, favor, redemption, renewal do not feel good all the time. And it's not about a feeling. It's about the Lord. And the ways that he chooses to work are the ways that he chooses to work. So here we are. Now, this moment on the road to Bethlehem, friends, is so significant. It is as significant as Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus. It is as significant as Abraham leaving everything and going and following God's promise. What happens with Ruth on this road gets kind of pushed under the mat of wedding vows. And I'm not saying anything wrong about wedding vows. But it is very significant what happens there. First of all, let's remind ourselves. She says, turn back. Why would you go with me? She goes on and on about the sons, that she may no longer have sons to be grooms for her daughters-in-law. She goes on and on about that, and she says, turn back. I don't want you with me. But, you know, I'm too old. She goes into all the things that, you know, all the things that don't make sense. Go. The Lord's will has come out against me. Now, she says all these things. She's in a bitter time, but let's rewind a little and get context for Ruth. Ruth has seen and witnessed Naomi's faith for a while now. Okay, she's been adopted into this Israelite family. She's been adopted into this family where they worship the Lord their God, and she has seen how this faith works. Now remember, she's a Moabite. They worshiped whole other gods. But she has been living with this family, and she knows their ways. Now she, and at this moment, it's the lowest of the low. Okay, Naomi's bitter. She says, the Lord has made me his enemy. Do not come with me. I have nothing to offer. She goes as far as to say, go back, not only to your household, to your mothers. She says, did you catch that? She says, go back to your gods. This is very significant. Orpah says no at first, but then when she goes on and on and on, she's like, okay. She cries, but she says her goodbyes. She goes back. Then she uses Orpah and pressures Ruth. Look, your sister-in-law, your sister-in-law, friend, your contemporary, all the things that they mean to each other, he's going back. Quick, go and catch her so that you may go together. Go. I'm a sinking ship, Ruth. Go back to your gods. And what happens next, friends, is a moment of cosmic relevance. What happens next is a conversion that paves the way for the Lord's story of redemption. Abraham had God's promises. Saul had a divine voice. Ruth had a bitter testimony, and yet she chooses the Lord. She has seen enough that she can know that from the darkest of night, a flicker of light to her is significant and is worthy to be chosen. Her old gods were violent gods. She chooses Naomi, she chooses her God, and she does something powerful. She makes a vow. And let's, we go to the weddings, right? And then the wife, you know, you go, I will go. And the husband's like, yes, yes. And it's all very romantic. And I'm not saying don't use that as a vow. It's great. But the moment that it happened, friends, is a universal cosmic relevant moment. It is dramatic. All the Bible, the main characters are usually male. The book of Ruth, the two protagonists are women. Men are actually supporting actors. These women, with nothing, no promise, no voice, no renewal promise, turn everything upside down. Naomi releases a girl. Go, I release you. Lose you this from this contract that you have with me. I release you. Naomi releases a girl, and a woman makes an eternal vow to God and changes history. She's released as a girl. She vows as a woman, and she is the first time, friends, I have chills just saying this. Ruth has never exercised her voice to make a decision in her life. She was told where to live. She was told who to marry. She was told how to work. The first time that she makes a decision, it is a cosmic decision that changes all of our destinies. Listen to this moment. I'm an American now, by the way. Thank you, thank you. So I have been living here for 4 years almost now, and Americans are very polite. And we don't like, I say we now, did you see that? And we don't like to raise our voices or get in each other's faces. And we do not like to be confronted face to face. But back in Bethlehem, in that moment, Ruth got in Naomi's face and said, "Do not urge me to abandon you or turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people with me, my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do this to me and more if death separates me from you. Your God will be my God." The first time she exercises authority in her life, a woman who has nothing. She is in the bottom rung of society, friends. She's going to go live in Bethlehem and be in their welfare system. And she stands up, being freshly released, and says, "Your God will be my God. And if I break my promise, may something happen to me." Ruth is a tough chick. Ruth is a tough chick. This is the first time she exercises authority, but trust me, it won't be the last. What she does in Bethlehem with a person she has never met, And the boldness that she uses to say, I'm here and I'm your problem now, is wow. Wow. This girl that, as we saw in the first installment, was not the cream of the crop. She was forced to marry into what kind of family? Naomi's family were refugees, poor. You have to know that Ruth was not the cream of the crop when her family thought, what do we do with Ruth? There's a family over there that's a refugee from another country. Yeah, yes, yes, please take her. Women in those patriarchal cultures were chips to be bargained with. The fact that Lord uses Ruth to forward his redemption story and gives her a place of honor and says, this is such a tough chick, she's gonna be in my lineage, is amazing. Naomi, by the way, is going on and on and on about how she's bitter and this and that, and she's probably wailing. And Ruth gets so much in her face, and her words are so powerful that what does the Bible say? She was silent. Okay. And you can imagine there was just stony silence all the way to Bethlehem. Okay then, well, let's go then. Just so that you know, I've made no promises, we have nothing. Okay, all right, let's go. And now they come to Bethlehem with Ruth, the original gangster, the brave heart, the first one, the real McCoy. And this is great. And the women here are going to appreciate this. Don't you love it when you show up to like a high school reunion or like a family gathering and the first thing somebody says to you is, oh my gosh, I didn't recognize you. You look tired. Thank you. Thanks. I mean, there is nothing better than that feeling. She goes back to Bethlehem and her old buddies see her. What is the first thing they say? Oh my gosh, Naomi? Is that really you? Now you can imagine what those years of suffering did to this woman's face. She had just been in the road to Bethlehem saying, I am no longer Naomi, I am bitter. Okay? I promise you, she did not look fresh. Oh my gosh. Naomi, is that you? What does she say? No, I am not Naomi. Why would you call me that? That means pleasant. I am a bitter soul, and leave me alone. Naomi is depressed. Naomi does not want to be called Naomi anymore. Naomi has lost her identity. Because her whole identity clung to her dead family. She says, I am now bitter. But guess what? When one is empty and surrendered, because by the way, imagine what Ruth felt, by the way. Here Naomi is with somebody prancing along her, and she says, yes, it's me, now I'm bitter, and I am empty, I have nothing. Ruth is like, hey. I'm with her. And now I'm gonna take care of her. Fun. I'm empty. Don't even ask me about this situation. When one is empty and surrendered, there is no power that remains except for sheer, persistent hope that does not die. There is nothing more powerful than a sheer, persistent flicker that does not die. Naomi has nowhere. Have you ever heard there's nowhere to go but up? Naomi invented that. This is it. This is the floor. This is the mud. This is the mire. This is where she is. God was working, friends. Through the mess, through the destruction, I'm going to tell Kevin to come up. Through the change, through the vulnerabilities, through the change of status, through the loss, through the bitterness, through the name change, through the identity crisis, God was still being the way maker. Now, I am here to remind you of Ruth and Naomi and to tell you that in your mess, in your vulnerability, in your loneliness, in your mire, in your destitution, God is working. He is still the way maker. Now, if he made out of Ruth a godly princess, the OG of lineage, he can be a way maker for you, his church. God's heart is not to hurt. He was not Naomi's enemy. It felt like that. It might feel like that to you. But even in that feeling, he is working. He is being a way maker. Even in that feeling of doubt, even in that feeling of absolute disdain, he is a way maker. And the road back to Bethlehem was a flicker of hope that just refused to die. All Naomi did was have ears. Do you have ears? Do you have a heart that's beating? That is all that she had. She heard something. One day he came to church and heard something and decided not to kill the hope. Now, I told you that Ruth is a love letter to all the outliers and all the outcasts and all the fringes and all the others. All the others. Have you ever been an other? I have. Ruth is a love story to the haves and the have-nots. Have you ever been a have-not? Ruth is a love story to the nothings that God sees as princess and princesses. Ruth is a love story to the dusty roads that lead to favor. Ruth is a love story to the women. Love conquers all. Ruth is a love story to the promises that you make to God. Ruth is a love story to that prayer you prayed a while ago, opening your heart to Jesus. He's here today telling you, I have not forgotten my promise. Ruth is a love story to the weakest links. Ruth is a love story to humanity. Women are protagonists. Women are not supporting roles. Widows across the Bible are protagonists. Single people across the Bible are not supporting roles. They are protagonists. A woman or a man in their singledom is not incomplete. They are protagonists of God's story. A marriage is not the end all. Walking with the Lord is the end all. So let's get up this today and worship the Waymaker. Let's just rise to our feet and close in worship. And think of Ruth, that desert girl, that nothing, and the power and authority that she exercised out of nothing. If she could do it, you can do it. If Ruth can do that, I can raise teenagers. If Ruth can look at a wailing woman and say, "Yes, I want your God," you can conquer your circumstances. So, mothers, fathers, married, singles, losers and winners, all, let's join together as a church and tell him that even though it doesn't feel like it, he is still the way maker. Let's go, church.
You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are. God, that is who you are.
You are here.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you.
You are here.
You are here, working in this place. I worship you. Worship.
Aquí estás.
Aquí estás. Debemos mover. Te adoraré. Te adoraré.
Aquí estás.
Aquí estás. Obrando en mí. Te adoraré. Adoraré. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
Milagroso, tú eres milagroso, abres caminos, cumples promesa, luz en tinieblas, mi Dios,
así eres,
that is who you are,
that is who you are, that is who you are, that is who you are, that is who,
one more time, declare, that is who you are.
That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
Even when I don't see it.
Even when I don't see it.
Yes. Declare it.
When I don't feel it, you're working.
You never stop.
You never stop working.
You never stop.
Raise your voice, church.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop.
You never stop.
aunque no pueda ver,
aunque no pueda ver, estás sobrando, siempre estás, siempre estás sobrando, siempre estás,
siempre estás. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop. One more time. Even when I don't see it,
you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
You never stop.
You never stop working.
You never stop. You are way maker, miracle work, promise keep lighting the darkness. My God, that is who you are. That is who you are. Just to the church, waymaker, waymaker, miracle work, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. Finish with that declaration today, waymaker, waymaker, miracle work, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God.
That is who you are.
Come on, yell it with me. That is who you are. 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 That is. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
That you are our God. Thank you that you are here. And I just want to give you this opportunity, if you are here, if you are online, and you are like Naomi or Ruth, and you are at the bottom, and you see no way. First of all, I want to invite you to say yes to Jesus. That flicker that doesn't die, that's Him calling you to Him. And it doesn't stop, and it doesn't relent, and it doesn't quit. So if you have never said yes to the Waymaker, this is your day. This is your day to make that vow and say, you will be my God. So just repeat after me with faith in your heart and say, you will be my God. Jesus, you will be my God. Save me. Forgive me. I have sinned against you. And I receive your grace. And everybody said, amen. And that prayer, in a believing heart with a flicker of light, changes lives.
We're going to be available after service today for prayer. If you are on the prayer team, have made yourself available today. Some of you would move over to the edges. Some of you might just grab someone in your seat today. We would like to pray for you, whatever it is. If you need physical healing, let us pray for you. If you are struggling financially, let us pray for you. This flicker of hope, I think that's for a lot of us. If you can't see the flicker, go let somebody pray for you, because where you don't have it, maybe they can see a little hope that you don't have. Let them lay hands on you. Let them pray for you today. That's what we're doing this week. This week we are turning ourselves toward Bethlehem. Even if you don't see it, even if you don't feel it, We're turning ourselves in that direction, and we're going to take a step in faith, and God is going to meet us there. And so stay for prayer, or go pick up your kids, or go take a photo. But as you do that today, this is our prayer. May the living God,
que el Dios vivo,
the creator of all the heavens and the earth,
creador del cielo y de la tierra,
may he richly bless you and keep you.
Que él te bendiga y te guarde.
May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you.
Que él haga su rostro resplandecer sobre ti y te dé su gracia.
May he smile on you and fill you with his peace.
Que Dios mismo te sonría y te dé su paz.
You have been and you continue to be extravagantly loved by the Father.
Has sido siempre extravagantemente amado por tu Padre celestial.
Now go do the same.
Ve y haz lo mismo.
Have a great week of worship. Go take a picture, mamas, and we'll see you next Sunday.